great googly moogly.
PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. And welcome to The Bunker on April 13th.
It's just ahead of 7. Bunker savings time, GMT minus 6.
Did that sound evil enough?
It did. It did. Very ominous and menacing. And let's see, UTC minus 5 in case you're keeping track overseas. And we had a beautiful day in St. Louis today, almost 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
It was a gorgeous day, almost a record-setting day for this area this time of year. It was a little warm.
Mm-hmm. Skipped right past spring. We're headed right into summer, which is not unusual for St. Louis. We get into the dog days here about the middle of June and stay there.
It's dog days here all 24/7.
Yeah, that's true. I've got this wound that's just bleeding profusely on my leg here, and it's just I didn't even notice it, but I'm so used to, you know, small dogs around having my legs used for scratching posts. Java's,
you know, her teeth are like little needles, and so are her claws.
I'm just
we get her nails trimmed every 3 weeks, so you can imagine how. They're due in another week.
Yeah, I'm just a big movable chew toy for Java's. What it is? See, I haven't gotten to the point yet where I'm quite as good about, you know, being firm with her as you are. So
you're very sweet to her, honey.
Well, it's going to have to stop before you can only take so much blood loss.
You only have so much flesh.
That's right. Well, we got part 3 of our interview with William H. Kennedy coming up, the author of Lucifer's Lodge and the forthcoming Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium. And that's a book that we're looking forward to.
I can't wait till that comes out. You know, I know I've got plenty of to do around here. I've got a stack of books I really need to read, and I've got some I need to write. But I'm really looking forward to that one.
We both read Lucifer's Lodge, and he did an excellent job with documenting and researching the book. And so I'm sure that Satanic Crime is going to be be similarly well laid out. And of course, he's got the expanded version of Lucifer's Lodge, which is due out in just a couple of weeks. So if you haven't
read that, he's got the free version.
Yes, and again, we'll put the link to that in the show notes, which are at pidradio.com. So you can click to that and download a free ebook copy, PDF format of Lucifer's Lodge.
You know, speaking of things that are dark and really
satanic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There was a story in the news today that I think is really in that same area, and comes out of Loyola, Pennsylvania. It's the story of a family of 6 people who were all killed probably 3 days ago, according to the coroner and according to family members. Apparently, a member of the family, Jesse D. Wise, has confessed. He was arrested this morning, and apparently he has confessed to the murders. There are so many things about this story that really puzzle me. I went to the Lancaster online newspaper and read the local version of what the AP and Reuters are reporting. And, you know, it gives a whole lot more detail, and it brings up issues that I find very puzzling. Apparently, a homeless man was discovered at the home not that long before the discovery of the bodies in the basement. A couple of people who were there leading the police and found the bodies, sadly, found them in the basement. There's a quote by the man who was in the lead, and he's probably totally innocent, but his discovery of the bodies, and he turned right around after seeing them and said, "Oh, they're all down here, all 6 of them, and they're all dead." It just seemed like an odd statement to me. Of course, I've not been in that position of finding bodies, especially ones that are in my family. So, you know, I probably am just jumping in where I shouldn't.
Well, but the thing that really has struck us is that this is an area that's in the heart of Amish country in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and it has been the site of some very unusual goings-on in the last several months.
It has, and if it sounds familiar to any of the listeners, it's because David Ludwig, who murdered his girlfriend's parents, is from that same area, from Lititz.
That's correct, which is only about 7 miles away from Loyola.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, this is also the location of a very strange court case that we talked about a couple of months ago, in which a woman sued her psychologist, her former psychologist, for helping her to recover memories of satanic ritual abuse, which she claimed in the lawsuit had been implanted by the psychologist, even though she'd worked with him for something like 10 years, mm-hmm. and the jury found for the plaintiff.
I know, it's very, very strange. Well, we've been corresponding, or rather you have, corresponding with Russ Dizdar about that and some other cases out there. And, of course, Russ, when he found out about today's story, about yeah. the sad discovery, he sent you a note right away and said, what's going on in Lancaster? And yep. Well, I did a little digging, and I found out that at one time, very recently, mm-hmm. and, in fact, may still be true, is that the Aryan Nation seat, uh-huh. if you want to call it, is right there in Loyola, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And that's something that we've discussed with Russ Dizdar, because after World War II, when Nazis were being smuggled out of Germany on the rat lines and brought into the United States and elsewhere, one of the areas in which they settled was Lancaster County, because it's the heart of Pennsylvania Dutch country.
It's
easier
to blend in.
For them to blend in. Right. And so there's been some speculation that some of this activity there may be the result of mm-hmm. more than just the physical or psychological aspects of the crime, that we may be dealing with some supernatural elements, which is why we raise the story, because we believe, again, that what we see in the headlines on a daily basis are the shadows of the true battle going on in the heavenlies, the spiritual battle between good and evil that really dictates the ebb and flow of life here on this planet.
That is true. And just so you know, we are not connecting Aryan Nation in any way with this crime.
No,
we're
not at all.
We're simply saying that there are things going on in this area that I think influence teens.
Right. And there's a lot of backstory to get into regarding the occult basis of the Nazi mm-hmm. party in Germany that we don't have time to get into right now. But if you go back and look at some of the other discussions that we've had with Russ Dizdar, with Peter Lavenda in particular, and we need to talk with him specifically about the book that he wrote about the Nazi occult beliefs. It's a big topic, and we don't have time to cover it here, but we just touch on it just so that you know that there's another dot that needs to be connected.
Well, speaking of dots, and I know that we shouldn't spend so much time on this one story, but while again, I was looking around trying to dig up more about this story. It occurred to me that David Ludwig from the Lidditz case mm-hmm. had blogged a lot. And that's a very popular thing with teens now.
Sure, right.
I won't give you the name of the site, but I will tell you that I found one site where a lot of teens blog, did a search for anyone between 18 and 35 who lived within 5 miles of Loyola, Pennsylvania, and I came up with 2,334 people. That's a lot of people for an area that only has a little over 6,000 people.
That's stunning.
18 to 35.
In the heart of Amish country.
Yes.
You wouldn't
expect them to have computers, would you?
You wouldn't expect that high a percentage.
No.
You wouldn't expect a third of the population to be between the age of 18 and 35,
no,
much less
really,
that many websites.
It really amazed me. Now, it could be that within 5 miles of Loyola that some people were fudging on exactly, I don't really know. But I think regardless, it seems to me that an awful lot of kids out there are involved in this internet community. And so I think that has to be considered as well, because many of the profiles that I looked at as I was looking through page after page after page on this site, many of these teens sound very disturbed and very, very angry. And I know that it's typical for a teen to go that route, but when you see pages that are clearly devoted to hating God, they go out of their way to hate God in public on the internet. That, to me, rings an alarm bell.
Yeah, well, this is something that needs more research, and we are going to interview Russ Dizdar in about 2 weeks, and we will have a series with him the week of April 25th, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, and we will certainly get into this topic with Russ Dizdar because it is his area of expertise.
That's
and so
right.
Rather than speculate, we'll talk to him. There's another story I want to touch on quickly. This is something that's being brought out by a reporter for MSNBC. The Pentagon is apparently looking to merge two intelligence units, and in so doing may be on the verge of creating what would amount to a secret police force inside the United States. We've talked about the Counterintelligence Field Activity, which is a group that is responsible for basically searching out activity in the United States that could be of terrorist nature. But in fact, what they were doing was compiling dossiers on people who were involved in like anti-war protests, mm-hmm. you know, people getting together, sharing donuts and talking about the war. And they were compiling dossiers on them. They were the Department of Defense is talking about merging that group with the Defense Security Service, which is the group responsible for checking out the security backgrounds of defense contractors. Mm-hmm. They've got something like 4.5 million files stored in an unused mine in western Pennsylvania. Now, CIFA has gone to the DSS and asked for access to those files on a number of occasions, and they've been turned down because the DSS said the grounds didn't warrant access to those files. But if they merge those two units, it would seem that the barrier protecting those protected files mm-hmm. from this counterintelligence unit
would disappear. Yeah.
And in effect, you would have another, because I'm sure we already have at least one, another government unit accessing files on American citizens. Without congressional oversight necessarily. This is something that was proposed and may well be coming soon to a Pentagon near you.
Well, I'll mention one more story, and then we're going to have to go right to our interview, but... Mm-hmm. There's a story that's going around. If you haven't already read about it, it's going to be there. It's going to be on Fox soon because there's a mumps epidemic yeah. in the United States. Now in 7 or 8 states, and they're mainly in the heartland, mm-hmm. you know, Nebraska, Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Kansas, you know, that area. Supposedly it started the end of March and April 1st with two patients that are considered the index patients. That between the two of them rode on 9 different flights and exposed an awful lot of people to the mumps. The problem with that is, according to the CDC site, the outbreak in Iowa began mm-hmm. in December of 2005. That's a long time before the end of March,
yeah.
April 1st, 2006. Now, this is an epidemic because normally in Iowa, you only have about 5 cases of the mumps per year because yeah. we've essentially eradicated it with the childhood MMR, mumps, measles, rubella right. vaccines mm-hmm. that take place in childhood. Iowa has now had over 500 cases.
That's a little more than a statistical anomaly.
Exactly. Yeah. It really does look like there may be an epidemic going on. There are a couple of questions. Why is an inoculated population getting the mumps so easily? Mm-hmm. And why is the CDC saying it started in December of 2005, and yet they're indexing the first two patients as being infected in March and April of 2006?
Yeah.
I find that really curious, but more so, I think we're going to find that somehow traveling on a plane and starting an epidemic is uh-huh. going to be compared to, and this may even be a test case for, what could happen with avian flu. So sort of look for this to become a big deal in the press.
Yeah. You raise a couple of good issues. And we're going to have to look at those the days and weeks ahead. We do need to get to our final part of our interview with William H. Kennedy.
Well, we'll talk more about this epidemic thing tomorrow during our blather.
Yes. And meanwhile, now we bring you the conclusion of our 3-part interview with author William H. Kennedy.
One of the cases that's current and is ongoing now and may provide a window into this darkness that has taken root inside the Roman Catholic Church is the case of Father Gerald Robinson in Toledo, Ohio. Bill, have you done any looking into this case? And can you tell us a little bit about what's happening there?
Sure. I followed the Gerald Robinson case very closely. I was contacted by Mike Sala, who writes for the Toledo Blade, and he won the 2004 Pulitzer Prize for a Vietnam story he did with his partner. He contacted me about this, and I sent him a copy of Lucifer's Lodge, which you can download at williamhkennedy.com for free right now in the special offer section. And basically what happened is in 1980, Father Gerald Robinson was a chaplain at a hospital in Toledo, Ohio. He had an assistant named Sister Mary Paul. Sister Mary Paul in 1980 was found murdered in the chapel of the hospital. And when they found her body, she was lying with the altar cloth wrapped around her. She was stabbed 32 times, and she had a halo of candles around her head. Now, this had all the markings of a ritual murder.
Mm-hmm.
The police, what happened is this was a hospital, so the crash carts came in, and they took her off, and they took her to the emergency room and tried to revive her. She was already dead, but they destroyed a lot of forensic evidence by doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was Father Gerald Robinson was an initial suspect. This is back in 1980 now. But because the crime scene was immediately tampered with, they had no evidence to use against him, apart from they believe that his letter opener was used to stab Sister Paul, but that was never conclusive. So they had to let him go. Now, Father Gerald Robinson remained a Roman Catholic priest in Toledo and got various assignments. Now, when the priest crisis broke in 2002, when the Boston Globe broke the story about cardinal law, many of the archdioceses throughout the United States set up tribunals by which people who claimed to be sexually abused by priests could come forward and give their testimony to see if they needed, you know, help or aid or if they wanted to sue. And one woman came forward. We don't know her name. They call her Jane Doe. She claims that she was sexually abused by Father Gerald Robinson back in the 70s and 80s, and that he sexually abused her while she laid in a coffin, and he sexually abused her with a snake and offered her bodily orifices to Lucifer in a bizarre ceremony. Now, this woman also said that there were other teen and preteen girls sexually abused by Robinson and a group of other priests, some of whom used to dress up in women's clothes like nuns and would come in and sexually abuse these girls. Now, this gave the Toledo police enough substantial evidence to charge Father Gerald Robinson with the 1980 murder of Sister Mary Paul. This gave them some corroborating proof that he was involved in ritualistic sorts of things. Now, this went before a grand jury in, I believe, 2003, and they decided to try Father Gerald Robinson for the murder of Sister Mary Paul, and that trial is about to start in 2 weeks from now. They're doing jury selection and pretrial motions and things of that nature, but it's set to go. Now, Dr. Henry Lee, who we all know from Court Television, he has a show on, he was called in to look at the forensic evidence which remains, which includes the altar cloth and the letter opener and the candles. And for anyone who's familiar with the occult, the numbers 32 and 33 have a lot of significance.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Lee has made note of that. Henry Lee will probably testify. He's the number one medical doctor forensics expert in the United States. You know, he testified in the O.J. Simpson trial, all sorts of very famous trials. He's a professor in Connecticut, and he teaches forensics as a coursework in it. Just consider that if Father Gerald Robinson does get convicted of the death of Sister Mary Paul, this would kind of confirm the Jane Doe testimonies. And the frightening thing is that there is these things like this cult of satanic priests who are sexually abusing children out there in these satanic rituals, some of them even dressing up like nuns. Now, a colleague of mine, whose name I don't want to mention right now, she pointed out that Father Andrew Greeley, who's a famous novelist and sociologist out of Chicago, he wrote that in 1999 that he knew of a group of pedophiles in Chicago who called themselves the Boys Club, and that he had enough evidence in his safe if they ever went after him that he could, you know, out them all. And this woman friend of mine who is a lawyer is trying to get him, now that all this has come out, to release that material, and he refuses to respond to her.
Mm.
Now, she has been harassed several times because of this, and I'll send you later on an article about this that came out. I don't want to bring up her name just not to cause her any problems.
That's appropriate.
But there's a lot of this kind of evidence coming out that clearly and distinctly proves that there is a satanic cult within the Roman Catholic Church, including the case of Gerald Robinson, which I will have in my updated Lucifer's Lodge, which will be out in a few months, but you can upload the old version for free now at williamhkennedy.com, special offer. Just click
that
one.
You have a follow-up book coming out soon, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's coming out tentatively May 1st, 2006. I just sent it off to the guy who's doing the layout. And Satanic Crime, A Threat in the New Millennium, it ties very much in with Lucifer's Lodge. You mentioned something earlier called the superforce,
mm-hmm.
that a term Malachi Martin used to use. And the superforce is basically what you would call the Illuminati. It's another name for it. And that is a cabal of rich elite occultists who work in tandem to control the political and economic destiny of this planet. Now, Lucifer's Lodge was Malachi Martin's name for the Illuminati or superforce as it manifested within the Roman Catholic Church. He called it Lucifer's Lodge, and that's where I got the title for my book. But it's really one and the same thing. Now, Satanic Crime, what I do is I give, you can read a free chapter of it on williamhkennedy.com. Chapter one is there. It's called A Brief History of Modern Satanism. And that will give you a breakdown of Satanism from Aleister Crowley through Anton LaVey up till the present time. And this all ties in together in that I point out in Satanic Crime that a lot of the people who run the world are involved with satanic occult organizations like the Skull and Bone Society at Yale University.
Mm-hmm.
That is a I prove in Satanic Crime that that is a Luciferian Illuminati organization. Now consider in our 2004 election, both George W. Bush and John Kerry were both Skull and Bonesmen. They were both members of this satanic fraternity at Yale University in the late 1960s.
Not much of a choice there.
What?
We didn't have much.
No, well, consider that Ralph Nader's lawyer, a man who he might have made attorney general if he ran for president, a man named Donald Etna, mm-hmm. is also a Skull and Bonesman, and he was in the same Skull and Bones class as George W. Bush. So what does that say for your third-party alternative? Not very much.
Mm.
So what we're looking at here is really a an interlocking connection of three major groups. One is the Skull and Bones. The other is the Bohemian Grove, which is centered in California. And that includes people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Walter Cronkite, Jimmy Carter, Helmut Kohl, Karl Rove, George W. Bush. And this is a private club that's headquartered in San Francisco, but they have a big chunk of land they have in Northern California, and they perform bizarre owl rituals there. They do a mock human sacrifice to an owl god, which may be Moloch or a mm-hmm. Philistine god, and they all dress in Ku Klux Klan-type ritual gowns and outfits, and they sacrifice a mock human sacrifice, and they call the sacrifice care, the cremation of care.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing is they're symbolically destroying their compassion for the rest of humanity and bonding with each other to work in tandem to control the world economy. Now, as I say, there's a lot of cross connections. George W. Bush is a Skull and Bonesman, and he is also a Bohemian Grove member. Now, the other group is the Bilderberg Group in Europe, and the Bilderberg Group is named after the Bilderberg Hotel, where in the 1950s, a group of global elites, including European nobility and major corporation holders like some of the Rockefellers, they met at this hotel, and since that time in the 50s, they have met yearly, and they keep their meetings completely secret.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the top people in the world. Bill Clinton attended Bilderberg meetings. Tony Blair attended Bilderberg meetings. And after they joined, that's when they rose to power. After attending a Bilderberg meeting, Tony Blair was made Prime Minister of England. After attending a Bilderberg meeting, Bill Clinton was made President of the United States. Now, it's the secrecy around these groups that's quite frightening. And I point out that all three of these groups have links to satanic and occult rituals, including the Bilderbergs. And I prove this in Satanic Crime by pointing out that a serial killer and child pimp in Holland, a man by the name of Marc Dutroux, was he's in prison now, but he was caught kidnapping little girls who he would sexually abuse, and he kept them in dungeons in his house. And what he was doing is he was selling them to this international Bilderberg clique. Now, some of the girls he had kidnapped and sold into sex slavery came forward when all of this broke over in Europe. And just consider in Holland and Denmark, it was discovered that the highest politicians there had attended ceremonies which were attended by Marc Trudeau and some Satanists. So I'm talking about some of the major world leaders, which I name in the book, including heads of European noble families, including major politicians. And it came out in the House of Commons over there. A woman came out and pointed out that there was an investigation, and the police were asked to confirm or deny whether there was any of these pedophile rape ceremonies held by these different monarchs. And the police said, yes, they were. They were actually called pink ballets. That was their code. So I have all this substantial evidence with hard facts. You know, I back up everything I say in Satanic Crime and Lucifer's Lodge. You know, virtually every paragraph has an end note where you can check my source at the end of every chapter. And I just want to point out that I get these stories from the mainstream media sources, but they're not given the attention they deserved, and they're generally buried in the computer archives of newspapers' web pages. Mm-hmm. They're usually not given prominence. They don't appear in the print editions. And just go to BBC.com and click on the news section and put in Satanism, and dozens of articles will pop up, but there'll be things you never heard of,
right,
and satanic serial killers you never heard of. Now, the case here I'm giving is that this overall cabal called the Super Force or the Illuminati are very real. They are successfully infiltrating and controlling the political and economic destiny of this planet. And their ultimate goal is massive population control, where they plan on eliminating large segments of the world's population because they feel it's overpopulated. Famines are all man-made, as we know. Famines occur because some people won't give extra food to other people, mm-hmm, and no other reason. Mm-hmm. You know, everything else they talk about is merely fiction. So we're looking at a big problem when you consider that the close ties the Roman Catholic Church also has to these other organizations. Consider Tony Blair, who I said is a member of the Bilderberg, very into the occult. He's now attending private Roman Catholic masses at number 10 Downing Street. His wife is a Catholic, but he is now attending Catholic services.
Now, I thought Bill Jerry Clinton Blair was also also very much into the occult and into the...
Oh, definitely. He and his wife were also very, very into all sorts of very bizarre ritualistic healings, new age kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, they did that rebirthing process. Didn't they do
Pardon?
The rebirthing thing?
Oh, yeah. It's a strange inversion. And Bill Clinton, there was a famous picture which Malachi Martin, we talked a couple hours on the telephone about this back in 1998. You remember there was a photograph of Bill Clinton receiving communion from an African Catholic priest in Africa? That was a big photo that went out on the AP wires. So these people are also tying into this satanic cabal which is infiltrated the Catholic Church. So the Super Force, or the Illuminati and Lucifer's Lodge, are no longer hiding their strong ties. You know, they're kind of sending out a message that they're one and the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
well,
my goodness, what a
Bill,
world.
We appreciate the work that you do in trying to get these stories out there. We should probably talk about your own program and your news site. You know, we often mention our site where we try to bring out these underreported stories, Watcher Magazine, but you also do a program, Sphinx Radio, and you've got a daily newswire at sphinxradio.com, which is should be a daily read for everyone who listens to PID Radio as
that
well.
That is right.
Because you have a nose for pulling these stories out from wherever they've been hidden. And These are mainstream news sources. It's just, you know, as with the things that we post to Watcher Magazine, it's just that they are under.
Oh, sure. I mean, consider I post 50 to 100 paranormal, occult, and conspiracy-related articles. And as you say, they're all tied into mainstream media sources, but they don't get the representation they really deserve.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there was a story about a vampire, a self-proclaimed vampire who was running for governor and president.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there was also a serial killer who claimed to be a vampire not too long ago. Now, you won't see this on ABC, CNN, or MSNBC because they shy away from exposing the occult for a variety of reasons. But when you consider also, just sit and watch, just channel surf one day, and you will find yourself bombarded with pro-occult images on television. You have shows like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Charmed, reruns of Bewitched, all sorts of magically and occult-oriented shows. And you also have a lot of Christian religious broadcasting, but you don't have anything that, you know, shows anything bad about these diabolical aspects of what happens. I mean, I cover in Satanic Crime the case of Brookie Lee West, who was a serial killer out in California or in Las Vegas. She murdered her mother and put her in a storage bin in a barrel. And what happened is the barrel leaked and the people that worked at the place knew something was wrong and called the police. And they found her mother's body, this was back in 2001, stuffed in a can with satanic books all around her, like the Satanic Bible and the Witch's Almanac. Now, you don't see stories like that on CNN or ABC or CBS.
No.
You know, it was reported. They're either reported locally or they're not given the attention they deserve. And that's what I'm trying to do at Sphinx Radio. And I have a lot of different sorts of guests on my show, too. It's not just limited to paranormal and occult stuff. I do a lot of different things, which I greatly enjoy.
Well, yeah, looking at the list of guests that you had on your program, Sphinx Radio, you cover a lot of topics. And again, that's the kind of thing that we like to talk about here. You've got a program here, recent guest talking about the Shroud of Turin.
Right.
Author Jerry Smith about the Spear of Destiny. G. Gordon Liddy.
Boy, he was interesting.
I'll bet he was. And as you mentioned, Dr. Stanley Monteith, who is a very eloquent spokesman for discerning Christian, I think, in looking at the world around us.
Right, he's a thinking man Christian in the tradition of like Walter Martin and Francis Schaeffer.
Mm-hmm. And we need more people out there who are discerning and seeing the world around us and understanding that this spiritual battle, as you document in your books, Lucifer's Lodge and the forthcoming Satanic Crime, is a spiritual battle, and that spiritual battle spills over into the physical world.
Every day.
Yeah. And the headlines that we see at Sphinx Radio and Sphinx Daily Newswire, Watcher Magazine, and other places like it are just the shadows of the real battle going on in the spiritual realm. So, Bill, we appreciate your time. We definitely appreciate your generosity in making Lucifer's Lodge available as a free e-book for the time being. And we'll certainly direct as many people as we can to take advantage of that offer. And we look forward to the release of Satanic Crime and to having you back once that's available to talk about that a little more.
Thank you for having me, and I'll be happy to come back and keep up the good work.
We love it. Thank you very much, Bill. We'll talk again soon.
Very good.
Well, that wraps up our interview with William Kennedy. If you missed any part of it, go back and listen to parts one and two, because this is really something you need to get as just the basics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's check out his website, williamhkennedy.com, and, of course, his daily news update site, sphinxradio.com. He's got some great interviews there with some very interesting personalities.
He's had amazing interviews. Yeah, G. Gordon Liddy.
That was interesting. I was not aware that he did a speaking tour, G. Gordon Liddy, that is, with Timothy Leary at one point in his career.
We'll have to see if G. Gordon Liddy wants to come on with us.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's it for today. We're going to be back with you tomorrow on Good Friday. And, of course, we're praying that everybody has a safe and wonderful Resurrection Sunday this weekend. We've got our ham all ready. We're going to bake it tomorrow.
Yes, the emergency ham. No, this is just the regular ham.
Yeah, okay. This is
the emergency
ham.
Ham's still in backup.
That's right.
Don't forget, our forum is always open for your comments and questions. Peeringintodarkness.com/forum.
And you can send us a note at any time at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. In the meanwhile, we'll see you tomorrow. And until then, I'm Sharon Gilbert.
I'm Derek Gilbert. Thanks for listening to PID Radio.
Bye-bye, everybody. Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day.